If you find the information in this program insightful and informative, please consider donating to Knowledge for Life, a nonprofit 501c3. And you can go into the description and click on our Cash App, $KnowForLife, or our PayPal secure link. Thank you for your donation. We appreciate your support.
Today, we are very honored to have with us Sister Margaret Kimberly. She, the senior editor, a journalist for the Black Agenda Report and the blogger for Freedom Rider. She's an author, and we'll get into her book, Presidential, Black America and the Presidents. And she's the recipient of the Serena Shim Award for Uncompromising Integrity in Journalism. And I want to greet you, Sister. How are you doing today? I wonder, can she hear me?
Yes.
All right. How are you doing today, my sister?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks so much.
Good, good. And we wanted to, can you talk a little bit about that award that you won, the Serena Shim Award? I know a little bit about her, that, you know, she mysteriously died in a car accident because of her reporting on some suspicious activity on the Syrian border.
Yes, she was a dual American and Turkish citizen. She was a reporter, and she was reporting the truth that Turkey had invaded Syria. And she did reporting about the deaths, the casualties that were being caused. She reported for RT, and she died in an accident, but it is very mysterious. She died after being threatened by Turkish authorities, after being questioned by them. And so this award is given to independent journalists who, of whom it can be said, they live up to her reputation. And it's very a great honor. And it was also, by the way, my colleagues at Black Agenda Report, Glenn Ford and Danny Haifong, also received the award. So it was a group honoring. And it's very important. And it tells you the importance of independent journalism in this country and in the world.
Absolutely. And let's go ahead and get right on into it. The 2020 presidential elections are coming up. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though we have the good, the bad, and the just absolute corrupt. Can you talk a little bit about the 2020 elections and really, you know, the trouble that this country is in when we're looking at Canada?
Well, it does show, it's a microcosm of everything wrong with this country, the political process. We have Donald Trump running again against another neoliberal Democrat. The Democrats have chosen not to address the needs of the people. So they nominate Hillary Clinton, who lost to Trump. Now they've nominated Joe Biden. He's one of the most right-wing Democrats ever in the Senate. He's one who who bragged about drafting the crime bill of the 1990s, which put so many Black people in jail. He's made many racist statements over the years. He's an imperialist. He's talked about, he gave a terrible speech. People should look it up on YouTube, the speech he gave when they were voting on the crime bill. And the things he said, he didn't say Black people, but he said really, really terrible things about young people who are remorseless, who cannot be saved, who have to be put in jail. I don't know if you've seen the video of him with the campaign. He went back to this pool where he worked as a young man and talking about Black kids telling him about roaches. And he was against school busing as a remedy for desegregating the schools. And he said he didn't want his kids to, he said this in the 70s, maybe it was the 80s. He didn't want his children to grow up in a racial jungle. So that's who we're looking at. Everybody knows Trump is a racist. We know that. We know that is his appeal. We know that's why he won. But the Democrats give us someone who is only marginally better. I think it's unfortunate that we keep hearing Trump is an existential threat and he's somehow special. But we had police murder before he became president. 1,000 people killed by police every year, one Black person every day. A foreign policy. We have U.S. military bases all over the world. AFRICOM, the U.S. Africa Command, the U.S. Sending troops to African countries and violating their sovereignty and the rights of their people. Wars going on, and wars by other means, sanctions. People hear about sanctions against Iran or Venezuela or Zimbabwe. And these sanctions kill people as surely as bombs do. These countries are restricted from not just doing business with the U.S., but the U.S. threatens any country that does business with them. And their people are deprived of food right. and medicine, and that's warfare. So, Biden made a remark about saying that Trump wasn't tough enough against Venezuela. I guess 40,000 people at least killed by U.S. sanctions in Venezuela. So that's our choice. All the things people need that, and I'm going to mention Bernie Sanders because I believe the Democrats' first priority this year was getting rid of him and making sure he didn't get the nomination. Right. But the things that made him appealing to people, like Medicare for all, Biden vows to, he said he would veto it if it even came up in a vote. So we have people who go broke, who go bankrupt because they get sick. So that's where we are this election year. We have this choice, which is really, in my opinion, not
no choice.
Choice. And I also right. believe the Democrats are prepared to lose to Trump. I don't think they care that much. He's a perfect foil for them. They get to use him as their poster child. And they don't do very much. If he says he wants, you know, Nancy Pelosi will rip up his speech. But if he asks for a space force, he gets it. If he asks for military spending, he gets it. So it's a lot of right. phony opposition. And that's what we're looking at in 2020.
And like you said, you know, you have the right and then you have the far right. You don't really have the left. And so one of the things that as you're talking about with Trump, you know, the media, one of the things that's so important about the media, you talked about the sanctions and the many lives that are being lost in Venezuela because of the sanctions. And this happened the same thing with the sanctions that were on Iraq. And
yes.
number of lives that were lost and never really reported. And so this is a recurring theme when it comes down to Western media, not reporting on the real devastation of these sanctions. And now, of course, the sanctions on Iran and the two coming together and Iran sending ships to Venezuela and helping them out in that situation. But recently, Iran has put out an arrest warrant for yes. Donald Trump with Interpol.
I think it's wonderful.
Do you want to talk? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, because we seem to be really between a rock and a hard place, as Minister Farrakhan said, you know, you can vote for Beelzebub or you can vote for Satan. Either one will get you hell. Can you talk a little bit about what happened to third party candidates? Is it the money or what's taking place there?
Very hostile to I'm a Green. I voted for Green Party candidates. I could no longer vote for Democrats. I couldn't vote for war anymore. They're locked out by money. There's a lot of propaganda against them. When Democrats lose, they blame third parties, especially the Greens. Al Gore had an election stolen from him. The Democrats did not fight back. They stole votes in Florida. Basically, they kept Black people from voting in Florida, George W. Bush's brother. And so Al Gore had the election stolen. But Congress had the ability, had the right to not certify the Electoral College vote. They could have kept George W. Bush from being elected, but they're not, they want to be in permanent government. They don't really stand for anything different. They let that pass. Hillary Clinton, they never counted all the votes. It's the Green Party that asked to count the votes. So, but they, but the Greens right. and anybody who doesn't vote is used as a scapegoat to absolve them when they mess up. Hillary Clinton should have won that campaign. I don't know how you raise $1 billion as she did, and then you can't get 78,000 more votes in those three states that flipped, which would have put her in the White House. So rather than be honest, they and their friends in corporate media blame, if they blame Russians, they blame the Green Party, everyone except themselves. They did not do a credible get out the vote. She did, basically did not do a get out the vote effort. She was so sure she was going to win. And so Trump ends up becoming president, and they don't protect Black people's votes. Black people's votes right. are stolen through voter suppression, through outright vote theft with these electronic machines, provisional ballots and other paper ballots being thrown out. Paper ballots are not necessarily a solution unless those votes are protected. And so that's the problem with third parties. And people have been so propagandized about Hillary Clinton's loss that people who want to look elsewhere are reluctant to do it. And now with Trump, of course, anybody who asks a question is immediately told, do you want Trump? You know, anyone's better than Trump. If you do anything else but vote for Joe Biden, you're going to get Trump back again. And he's such a vile, horrible person, his policies, his persona. So it's not hard to get people to put getting rid of him first and foremost. So that's right. the problem, excuse me, with third parties. But my answer is, third parties need to be strengthened. The Democrats, they right. even failed to get elected. You know, when nobody talks about it, but when Obama was president, the Democrats lost more than 900 seats across the country. So what are we defending? A party that does nothing for us, that doesn't propose any of the things we need, and yet we're supposed to live in fear that they will lose when they don't even know how to right. win themselves. They do know how to win. Yeah. But they right. know that there are things people, they know if they promise to raise the minimum wage, they would get votes. They know this. They know people want a different healthcare system, call it Medicare for all. They know people want that. And it's also deadly. This horrible healthcare system we have is responsible for all these deaths from the COVID pandemic. So, but I think people should be more brave and look further afield than the Democrats or the Republicans.
If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support.
Right. I mean, either party, really, when we talk about who controls the parties, is they're both controlled. And I have a thing here about the two wings of the same bird, where the rock, where really special interest groups like Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg's Federal Reserve, Bohemian Grove, Council of Foreign Affairs. So really, you know, either party that you get in, they may have subtle differences in certain policies, but their foreign and their domestic policy is really dictated by these unseen forces.
Oh, sure. Wealthy people and corporations determine what they do. Sorry, I think I interrupted you.
No, that's fine, because we want to get into really something that we really want to talk about, and that is the resources of Africa. We want to talk about your the mission of the Black Alliance for Peace that you're a part of, and AFRICOM, because about the number of different military bases that are all over the world. I mean, thousands of military bases, and they really don't know how money is being siphoned from certain domestic resources that are needed that go to this military-industrial complex. Can you talk a little bit about AFRICOM and really the race to control the resources of Africa?
Sure. AFRICOM was formed in 2008 by President Bush. It was his last year in office. Basically, the United States has divided up the world into these various commands and claims to have authority in various parts of the world. So they created an the U.S. Africa Command, known as AFRICOM. And they call them alliances with various African governments. Basically, the U.S. military controls the military forces of African nations. Only North African nations are in another command. I believe it's I'm getting it wrong. But most of Africa is controlled by AFRICOM. Only one nation, Eritrea, has managed to escape its clutches. So they pour money, forces. There are more than 40 U.S. bases in Africa, more than 800 U.S. bases around the world in total. And it's part of those larger issue of U.S. imperialism and the military-industrial complex. The defense budget is 60% of the federal budget. That leaves us very little to take care of the needs of people, but that's not where their interests lie. These defense contractors get money and create a lot of pollution, by the way. The U.S. military is the number one polluter in the world. So AFRICOM keeps people in power, African leaders who don't always act in the interests of their people. It means that people in these countries don't have their sovereign rights to choose what they want to have happen in their nations. And it, of course, obviously means that these countries are under U.S. control. And as we know, Africa is rich in every resource, gold, diamonds, copper, everything, and I'm blanking on the name of it. There's a substance.
The cobalt.
Coltan, yeah. Thank you.
Coltan,
which is found in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is found in the mud, but it's used to make every electronic, our computers, our phones.
It's very vital.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
The people, they literally take a shovel and a bucket and dig it up. That's how plentiful it is, but they're not the ones who get the money, obviously. So that is one of the rationales. It's always a rationale for U.S. foreign policies, for the U.S. to keep control of resources for the U.S. and their allies in Europe, European countries. And so that's part of the larger problem you just mentioned of the ruling classes controlling U.S. politics and policy.
Right.
So that's another problem with our political system. We get these presidents who are don't have an allegiance to us. They have an allegiance to wealthy people, to corporations, corporations here, interests of other European nations. This U.S.-European axis is responsible for so much suffering in the world. So Black Alliance for Peace, the organization I'm a coordinating committee member of, we're a three-year-old organization. Our goal is to lift up the Black radical tradition, which governed our thought and our actions for so long. And we want to return to that and inform people about what's being done in their names. And we have a current campaign, No Compromise, No Retreat, Defeat the War Against Black African People in the U.S. and Abroad. It's a long title. I can't believe I remembered it all. But people should go to the Black Alliance for Peace website. You can join the Black Alliance for Peace. We have a candidate pledge. We're asking people running for office to pledge to end AFRICOM. AFRICOM needs to end, to close these military bases, to cut the military budget by 50%. to end the militarization of police departments. There's a program called the 1033 program, which gives surplus military equipment to local law enforcement. So these little podunk towns have armored vehicles for the police. We have police being trained in Israel. All these things, apartheid Israel, all these things need to change. And Black Alliance for Peace, we're working to organize people around the country, make people aware of all these issues. We have various teams, the Africa team, communications team, outreach. We have chapters starting in several cities. So we're very excited about our work. And especially in this moment of protest, right. It's very important for people to know how to organize. It's not, and it's a good thing that people have, that this protest has been sustained in the month since George Floyd was killed. But it's not enough to have this spontaneity.
It needs organization.
And we have to, I'll give you an example. Everyone's talking about defunding the police. And that sounds like a good idea. But here in New York, and I know it's happening in other cities, the mayor used a sleight of hand with the budget. So they took school safety officers who were paid by the NYPD. They took those budget lines and gave them to the city Department of Education. And they claim that's defunding the police. They haven't changed anything about policing. They take money from here. It's like a shell game. And then claim that it's defunding the police. We need community control of the police. And we need to start organizing about that.
And I had just interviewed, before this interview, Sister Zakia and Kofa Jabbar. And one of the things that she exposed is really the militarizing of the schools.
Absolutely.
So as you're saying, this sleight of hand is going from, you know, the military industrial complex to now a literal police state at childbirth.
Absolutely. They let these recruiters into the schools. These recruiters lie to young people about the benefits of joining the military, about the benefits they're going to receive. They tell them they're going to pay for college. Most people never, ever see, you have to be a full-time student, which you're not going to be as an adult. The odds are you're not. Veterans end up, young people end up leaving the military without jobs, end up being homeless. So we need to cut off this military, their access to young people in the schools and get the police out of schools. And that has to be part of our demand for community control of schools and for all of the public sphere, the public agencies that control our lives. So we have to be careful, and that's where we need organizing and education so that people think when they ask for defunding of the police, they're not gonna end up with what it is they want. We want the police forces cut drastically. We want the police not to be able to carry guns. We need prosecutors to stop being in bed with the police and prosecute them when they kill. We need less policing in our communities. We need to be the ones to decide who gets hired, who gets fired, subpoena power, all of those things many groups have been talking about. It was one of the points of the Black Panthers 10-point program back in the 60s. So this is not something new, but that's why it's so important for people to be in solidarity around organization. And that makes it less likely that we will advocate for things that don't do us any good or that may even be harmful.
Absolutely. And also a part of the What the Muslims Want and What the Muslims Believe program as well. One of the things that I wanted to not really gloss over, but, you know, exposed because it's not really talked about in the mainstream media, is what you just spoke on about the police, which is an extension of the military apparatus, being trained in Israel. So most of these tactics that we see And I have right behind me a violin in honor of our brother, Elijah McClellan, who is a soldier. But the police force learn here are tactics were taught to them by the Israeli IDF.
Yeah, that's the last group in the world you would want to teach policing in this country. Israel's an apartheid state. It's very clear they're about to annex all of the West Bank. We know about the horrible massacre that took place in Gaza. The terrible treatment that has not ended. People aren't even allowed to leave Gaza to get medical treatment. They cut off electricity. They close off wells. People can't get drinking water. Israeli settlers are allowed to cut down olive trees, olive groves that are hundreds of years old. This goes on and on and on. Yes. The Israeli police kill with impunity like police do in this country. So that is also something that's one of our demands. And there are cities that have actually said they will not send police to Israel for training. But that's why we need, I would say as an overall umbrella term, we need self-determination. We need community control of the police, greater community control of all our lives. And when we work towards that goal, and I know it's a big lift, I'm not saying it's a small thing, many of these things that victimize us will no longer be able to cause us so much suffering.
Absolutely. Talk mentioned it already, but you talk about the United States being one of the worst human rights abusers in the world. Mm-hmm. We see the United States even putting sanctions on the ICC, the International Criminal Court. Sometimes I call them the International Court of Criminals because they seem to only go after African leaders and not, you know, Western leaders whatsoever, even though they have crimes of depleted uranium in Iraq and these other type of crimes that have been committed in Afghanistan. But can you talk a bit about the worst human rights abuser in the world?
Sure. Which country has more people behind bars than any other country in the world? This one, more than 2 million people, half of whom are Black. A quarter of all the people in prison on the planet are Black Americans. Which country has the biggest military? This one. Who invaded Iraq and killed 1 million people? This one. Who kills people with sanctions? This country. We've been hearing this story, and I write about it in Black Agenda Report. People can see it in the July 1st issue. This story about Russia giving money to the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers, which is ridiculous. The country that uses jihadists as proxies to kill is the U.S. The U.S. did it in Afghanistan first. They did it in Libya. They're doing it in Syria. So it's the U.S. that uses jihadists to kill. Russia, on the other hand, was victimized by jihadists. So there's no other country on earth less likely to be giving money to the Taliban than Russia. This is a lie. Trump has talked about some troop drawdown in Afghanistan. It's meant to keep him from doing that. It's meant to cover up from the fact that all of the lies about Russiagate are now being revealed, to keep him from doing anything that might help him win a close election. It's all a lie. So it's the U.S. you mentioned Iran has announced that they have an arrest warrant for Donald Trump because the U.S. murdered their General Soleimani in the beginning of the year. That was a war crime. So the U.S. has an arrest warrant for President Maduro in Venezuela, claiming he's a drug trafficker. They've even sanctioned his wife. They sanctioned Assad's wife in Syria. The ICC, in order to keep the ICC from investigating any U.S. criminality, Secretary of State Pompeo says they're going to sanction individuals and the families of those people working at the ICC. And you're absolutely right. The ICC has a dreadful record of only going after Africans, a few Serbs from back in the 90s. But do they touch Trump or Obama or Bush or Cheney or Colin Powell or this rogues gallery of criminals here. No, the Europeans who destroyed Libya, the former prime minister of the UK, Cameron, the French president, Sarkozy, who took money from Gaddafi and then had him murdered like a common gangster would do. So all of these people should be before the International Criminal Court. And I think we can just say that they, based on how people are treated in this country, what the U.S. does around the rest of the world, it's the U.S. that does the greatest damage, that is the worst violator of human rights of any nation in the world.
If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support.
And we'll, next week, we'll be interviewing Mr. Kevin Barrett. And as you know, he really exposes the crime of 9/11. We all know, and it's a known fact today that they lied about yellow cake and they lied about a number of other things. And as you said, you know, the International Criminal Court tried to pursue this as far as the crimes that were committed in Afghanistan. And so now they use the dollar, which the Federal Reserve prints. I mean, it's literally backed by nothing. But they use this economic sledgehammer on these nations, literally starving the common people who are really the ones who are impacted by these sanctions.
And that is a war crime. Collective punishment against the civilian population is a war crime under the Geneva Conventions.
Let's go a little bit as we begin to wrap it up. You all at the Black Agenda Report talk about the Black misleadership. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on was the ADL. They're teaming up with the NAACP to put out this Stop Hate campaign. And they've got these corporations, they're going to do this in July. And it's no coincidence, of course, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to give a July 4th address addressing the world. And so can you talk about a little bit about the Black misleadership that we have? I mean, not to really, you know, disrespect what they're striving to do, but really when we talk about the Congressional Black Caucus, mm-hmm. they really symbol without substance.
Well, that's their role. Their role is to give the appearance of empowerment for Black people when actually they don't represent our interests. They represent the interests of big corporations. Congressman Clyburn in South Carolina, for example, is the biggest recipient of campaign money from the pharmaceutical companies out of every member of Congress. This is not something that will help Black people. That's just an example. The Black Caucus was once called the conscience of the Congress. But once they became targeted by big money, by corporations, by rich people, they became like every other member. And so they used to speak out against imperialism. They don't speak out against any of the issues that we have mentioned. After George Floyd was murdered, what did they do? Wear kente cloth and take a knee. Have they done anything that would take any action that would stop police murder, that would address any of the issues we're talking about? Who needs an increase in the minimum wage more than Black people? Who needs free public college more than Black people? But they do not speak to these issues. They are totally self-interested. They politically, their careers depend on going along with big corporations, going along with neoliberal policies, going along with US imperialism. And that is what makes them misleaders. And they are under the thumb of their political leadership. our first issue of Black Agenda Report in 2006, Glenn Ford wrote an article called Let the Black Caucus Be Black, something to that effect, where Nancy Pelosi was telling these, and we were supposed to be so excited, Democrats were in control of the House again, and some members who had seniority were going to have committee chairmanships. But Nancy Pelosi said in 2005, you can't talk about Katrina. Other members, you can't talk about anything actually that's going to help people. So that's what we mean by the misleaders. Some of them are politicians. Some of them belong to the organizations you mentioned, but none of them are independent actors. They all depend on others. And they are the people who, regardless of their intention, regardless of who they are as people, they end up doing things that are not in the interests of the masses of Black people.
Mm. So before we start to wrap it up, we definitely have to get into your book, Presidential, yep. Black America and the Presidents. There we go.
I have no shame. I'm putting it off the
That's right. Hey, just go ahead. And can you tell us a little bit about it, and that also that it'll be coming out, I guess, overheard a little bit about it. It'll be coming out in digital form and also audio. Can you talk a little bit about your book? And really, if you could say something about, and once again, not trying to disparage anything that President Obama did, but just trying to point out that whoever sits in that Oval Office, they're not going to be able to benefit us as a people. It's only when we unite, pull our resources and do something for ourselves that we're going to get any type of justice.
Yes, my book, it's been published. Presidential was published in February. You can order it directly from the publisher, Steerforth Press, at steerforth.com, or you can get it from Amazon. There's an ebook, there's an audiobook, which I narrate, and there are 45 chapters. I devote one to each president, and I go through the history of this country, starting with George Washington, these founding fathers who were criminals. 10 of the first 12 presidents right. were slaveholders. Those who were not always compromised on behalf of the slave power. We know the history of Jim Crow and of segregation and the 100-year effort to fight back. But to make a long story short, I will say that Black people always do, we always prosper the most when we make demands, when we demand self-determination. It was the enslaved who, when the Civil War began, who escaped to Union lines, who put pressure on Abraham Lincoln to allow the U.S. colored troops to be formed. But Lincoln, he's an example of someone who was not acting in our interest. He wanted to get Black people out of the country. That was a major goal of his, to send Black people away. We had presidents like FDR. The little bit he did for Black people was because A. Philip Randolph threatened a march on Washington. Lyndon Johnson, it was the people who created a political crisis that created the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. So it's been an effort from the very beginning to assert our rights, and presidents are generally opposing our fight for rights. And Obama can't be any different. He was not chosen in order to help us. He was chosen by the people we call the 1% to help them out. They needed help. The Republicans were unpopular. George W. Bush was unpopular. They needed a Democrat in order to get their agenda done. So he was marketed for hope and change, but there's no hope and change in this political system. So, and I, of course, end with Trump. Obviously, there's nothing good to say about him, but the Democrats are responsible for his getting elected. I think it's important to say that whenever we talk about him. So obviously, I want people to buy the book. Of course, I think it's good, but other people, it's gotten good reviews. Someone told me it's a nice yes. read. It's something that's easy to go through. It's not scholarly, but it's well-sourced, and a lot of several years of research that went into it, and wow. I think your viewers will enjoy reading it.
Absolutely. And we'll end with our late great brother that I had the honor of interviewing before his passing, Mr. Bruce Dixon. Can you say a little bit?
Our co-founders of Black Agenda Report, Bruce passed away just a year ago, June 28th, 2019. He was a native Chicagoan, a former Black Panther, an activist for many years. He ended up living in Georgia. He was an organic farmer, very astute, very, very smart man who helped us make Black Agenda Report the force that it is in independent journalism, and a very, very sweet person, just a very nice guy. And I and many other people miss him greatly.
Yes. And is there anything else that you want to say as we close out?
Read Black Agenda Report, blackagendareport.com, and also check out blackallianceforpeace.com and buy my book.
Absolutely. And follow you on Twitter as I do.
Thank you. Freedom Ride Blog is my Twitter handle, Freedom Ride Blog. And I love to engage with people.
Yes.
Maybe a little too much, but anyway, please follow me. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, sister. And we have been interviewing Sister Margaret Kimberly, an author, an activist, a senior editor at Black Agenda Report, Freedom Rider blog. We want to thank you for coming on Black Narrative at the NNV News. And we want to encourage everyone who will be out this July the 4th to tune in to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's address to the world. As we know that we're in need of some guidance in this day and time, and we thank independent news like Black Agenda Report and the Final Call newspaper, and really Press TV, anything other than mainstream media.
Thank you for listening to this very informative, insightful program. Please follow, like, and share with family, friends, and associates. Come back every week for a new episode of Knowledge for Life's podcast.